Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Diving into the tight end position and finishing up the story on the NFL draft watch candidates, right? And the NFL storylines to watch, potential younger players or incumbent players at potential risk. You know, one of the things when I was looking at this, I was just sort of thumbing through the tight end position, and I just went and looked at some of the free agent stuff. So Greg Olsen, he's on his way out, and then you get Jesse James and Tyler Eifert are out there as names. You know, Witten is has moved on as well. Fells is there. Virgil Green, some of the top names at the free agent position. We sort of, Jordan Reed's retired as well. So we sort of look at the names. There's not really a ton of people that strike fear. Richard Rodgers is a name that's still out there. Trey Burton is out there as well. So not a ton of names that scare at present in terms of the, shaking any sort of, incumbent guys free. You don't have anyone lingering out there in free agency right now. So that's something that I'm really like looking at some of these situations. And I say that there's obviously the big shoe to drop, which is Kyle Pitts. But then you sort of look at the rest of it and you're like, I don't really know who's all that scared in terms of the tight end position. I mean, how many guys go on in the top 2 days? Is it like the under 3.5, something like that? And you sort of look around and you're like, all right, like there could be some guys that are hanging out here that you might not expect, or you might think, oh, that, that they're suboptimal, but could ultimately fall into, maintaining a job. Think Drew Sample, for example. So, so that's really the thing about it. So Atlanta is the first real one that I think when you look at, you're like, huh. Are they going to sort of double down on the position? They had Hayden Hurst. Are they going to go with Kyle Pitts? Hayden Hurst was one of the worst in terms of yards per route run last year. He was down at like 1.1 or so, just a little bit less than that. So that's not great in terms of efficiency. Some recent trades for him that I like is sort of a cash out. Him for 208 and Anthony Firkser. Him for 204. Hayden Hurst and Kenyon Drake for Mark Andrews. I like that one quite a bit. So I have him in a couple spots. I'm gonna inquire into it. I gotta imagine that's gonna be kind of a little bit of a runaway train. You might just hold out hope that they don't take him and hope he gets a rebound in price, because I have a hard time imagining you're gonna get a second round pick for him at this point. But I'm gonna try. So we'll see how that goes. Other names here. So Cincinnati's the next one. Again, Drew Sample is one where I think, he was inefficient in terms of yards per route run. It was kind of a little bit of a wasteland last year. They get Burrow back. Could this be a situation where, they sort of get healthy, they get right, and he can sort of elevate his game? Maybe. And if he's sort of stuck in that position, don't have a ton there outside of him, still on a rookie deal, entering year three at this point. He's one I could say, I think it's probably low level, but if you sort of said, hey, he finishes a tight end too, wouldn't shock me in terms of value. But that's another spot for Pitts. I think they're an interesting spot for if they want to go weapon but not wide receiver, if they go Pitts there, sort of see how that all folds, folds together there in terms of that top five. Miami's really interesting too. I think it probably in most mock draft scenarios is a floor for Pitts. I there's one more team that I think would be fascinating to add Pitts, but you would figure that the calculus for them to take Pitts would be that Atlanta goes quarterback or trades out, and that spot is a quarterback, and then Cincinnati takes alignment or takes Jamar Chase and lets Pitts through. That's the scenario in which Miami could end up getting, getting Pitts. What I think is interesting is if there's a trade up to four, this is the one that I keep coming back to and looking at and saying, and just sort of squinting and looking, saying, if Atlanta trades out, that's a quarterback, or takes a quarterback, and then Cincinnati takes an offensive lineman, Miami takes Jamar Chase, and Kyle Pitts makes it to Detroit. I'm not sure how you pass. You need offensive weapons. It's going to be a little awkward with him and Hockenson, but man, you have the ability to go super, super turbo two tight end action. Just put a lot of stress on a lot of different teams. And that's going to be a really difficult thing to do. I posted it on Twitter just to sort of get a reaction, see what people thought. And everyone hated the idea. Oh, you have Hockenson. Like, we have seen really good offenses run through two tight ends. I'm not sure if you remember, but there were two guys up in New England named Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez that took the league by storm. How do you get two guys? Like, it's pretty tough, right? It's a position where there might only be at a given time 10, maybe 15 difference makers. To get two of them is really hard. How do you do it? Well, you take two of them in the top 10 of the draft, and they happen to be two outstanding prospects, and that puts a ton of strain. You know, we've seen where Pitts could be a X wide receiver if they wanted to. That would be a fascinating situation, right? I want it to happen. I am just pulling for it to happen just because I would be super interested on it. I think it would crater Hockenson's value and make him a value. I don't think it actually hurts Hockenson. It'd be a really interesting situation. I think it'd be a fascinating team construct, and you just continue to build weapons, and you need good players, and you take good players, and you don't necessarily worry about fit. I kind of think of like this is the NBA draft a little bit, where you just kind of keep taking guys, and you just try and take the best players you can get, and then, you know, and you see how it boils out. You know, there's the thought that Pitts can play wide receiver, and, you know, or you can run a lot. They want to run the ball a lot. And is it optimal to necessarily have him in blocking? No, not per se, but if you want to go ahead and you know, run some two tight end action, that's something that they want to do. So I know it's a pipe dream, but that would be fascinating to watch. I think it'd be a really stressful thing for a lot of teams, and would have a really hard time covering it, just because both guys can move, both guys can make plays down the field, both guys can do a lot of different things. After that, so I think that 7-8 is probably or 6-7 is probably the floor for Pitts, would be my thought. It'd be a supersized Hunter Henry, Jonnu Smith type scenario. I think some interesting guys that maybe we could look for on day two. You know, I don't think Buffalo's done adding offense. So there's a couple of ways that you can go in and try and beat Patrick Mahomes. You can outscore him, or you can try and stop him. And I think the first round's about stopping him. I think the second round might be about outscoring him. And is that ETN? Is that a tight end? You know, what is that? I don't necessarily see them up to like make a huge play up the board to get a guy. But that's a scenario where you could say, all right, like if there's an edge they like, if there's a you know, a defensive back they like or something like that in the first round, and then come back and get a weapon in the second round. I think they're a sneaky landing spot for a running back. But I do think that they don't see this offense as having enough pieces. And I think that's something that they've consistently shown, that they want to bring in more pieces. Dawson Knox, listen, I find him interesting. And he kind of has better second halves than first halves. And you're kind of like, ooh, like we could be onto something. Developmental track, you know, unproductive college guy going to come in and sort of, oh, look, he's on the developmental track after year one. And then we got totally miffed by that. And then it's like, oh, we got COVID. Oh, he comes back second half of the year. Like he's good. Like, are we going to keep doing this? We can do it for a third year. I mean, that's kind of where we're sitting at, and you're kind of like, all right, like this is what he is. You know, is there a true elite difference maker? I'm not sure. You know, would a Bateman or someone like that in the second round make more of a difference? I think so. But, you know, it might be dual redundancy with what they have and at the position. But, you know, I think that they need more weapons, and I think that is something that they've shown. We've seen that they're interested in Gronkowski. Gronkowski ultimately went back to Tampa, but that'd be something I would could say, like, all right, that might be an indication of what they think. Other teams, I think the Jets, I mean, they have what needs everywhere, but surrounding their quarterback could make some sense. I think Herndon's like a fourth round rookie pick valuation. He's not really doing much anyways. Some other teams I think are interesting. Seattle's interesting. They brought in Gerald Everett on a one-year deal. You know, what do they view him as? Do they need a guy? I mean, they've got Kobe Parkinson. They've got some other guys there under, I think, Will Disley's still there as well. So they've got some guys. Carolina, you know, the Ian Thomas experience has been a pretty disappointing one. Are they in the position for for a guy there. I mean, if Pitts fell to eight, right, that would be a situation where it's hard to see him go past that. Oh, is that a scenario where if people start trying to move up for him, that'd be interesting. But I suspect there's not a tight end there, but that would be an interesting watch if he begins to slide a little bit, just because you get another team coming up for quarterback. There's landmines there for him to fall a little bit. Washington's a team that they have Logan Thomas, but that's something that you can't settle on. And so are they a day two landing spot? That would be an interesting one, and one that actually might seem a little bit buried. So that would be one that we could definitely be in on in terms of rookie picks as well. The other one that I look at is the Chargers. That's one I could say, hey, listen, you know, you're kind of in the, you're kind of in the range of we've got a rookie, we got a quarterback, we've got the dude, we've got him on a rookie deal. Like, we need to sort of go for this. And, you know, if they made a play up the board, I don't think that they're going to, but like, that would be something you could look for. Like, I think that they've been open about, you know, or there's been a lot of smoke there about them adding weapons, you know, is that they have Jared Cook, who I think could be in line for a really good season. He just keeps landing with places where it's like really good quarterbacks. So that would be one to watch for there. But do they sort of add developmental stuff behind him? You know, they've shown that they want to press their chips right now, bringing in some guys to sort of help. So that would be a situation maybe watch for on the developmental track. So that's pretty much the tight end position. Again, not a ton there just because it's not that good of a class. So that not a ton there in terms of a lot of guys. This isn't the 2017 class where we had all pros going all over the draft. That's not really where Pro Bowlers going all over the draft. That's not really what we've got in this class. So we'll have to watch for, you know, Tommy Tremble's interesting. Some of those guys a little bit further down the board, but I'm not sure how they necessarily threaten anyone here coming in. So, you know, maybe you could see some trade scenarios. Maybe Joku's a trade guy, trade candidate, something like that. I could see in a crazy world Evan Ingram getting traded. And if like that was to the Bills, like, yes, all in, let's do it. But yeah, I mean, that would be, I don't think that there is a veteran free agent class out there. It's not a ton in the rookie market in terms of true difference makers. So is it a scenario where you can do a reclamation project on a guy like Evan Ingram, who's fallen in perception a bit, on a guy like David Joku, who's fallen in perception a lot? You know, are those scenarios out there in play? One team that it's worth noting, I don't think is going to be anywhere near the tight end position is Arizona. They just don't do that. And so that would be one situation that I've seen that pop up. But, oh, they need a tight end. Like, they don't really use tight ends, so they don't really need them. So that would be the thing that I would just caution there with them. I don't think that narrative is actually going to happen. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, happy trading. Keep embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.